Hi, I'm Yusuf Zine. My latest TVO Today podcast is on how a Canadian ends up in a Chinese prison and if he's even alive. Listen and subscribe to Extradition. Available now, wherever you get your podcasts.
Help TVO create a better world through the power of learning. Visit TVO.org and make a tax-deductible donation today.
That is the finance minister's take. The opposition parties have a different interpretation on today's budget, so let's welcome them. Here's Catherine Fife. She's the NDP Finance and Treasury Board critic and the MPP for Waterloo. Stephanie Bowman is the Liberal Finance critic and the MPP for Don Valley West. And Mike Schreiner is leader of the Green Party of Ontario and represents Guelph in the Ontario legislature. It's great to have you three here with us at our table. You know what? Just given where that conversation ended, I'd actually like to start there. I wasn't planning on doing this, but that was a moment. And could you pick up the story? Because I think he had trouble getting through that reference to his dad. And then you all in opposition stood up and applauded. Like, that doesn't happen. How did that happen, Mike?
Well, I think it happened because everyone wanted to give him a moment to collect himself. And I think we all recognize that we're humans. And we may disagree in the legislature, but we all have family. And I think it was a moment where we could be there to support him in a very emotional moment.
You is this budget one for you or budget two?
Budget number two.
This is budget number two. So yes. You haven't seen this before.
Well, he got emotional last year.
He did. He got emotional last year, too. Yes,
so,
he did.
So I think really just it shows that we're talking here about money, but we're also really talking about people, right? And the people in our lives matter to us. And as legislators, we think about them every day. And when you have to get up publicly and talk about them, that can be tough.
Catherine?
No, absolutely. I mean, these stories matter. And we did want to give him a moment. I mean, there is respect across the party lines in that regard. For me, though, I have to say, I mean, he was talking about the importance of post-secondary education. He was talking about the impact that it had on his family. And I was thinking about the budget cut to post-secondary education when that happened. I mean, that's the contrast point. And I'm the finance critic for the official opposition. And so if we're actually talking about the potential of about investing in the potential of future generations, about that economic development potential, then you have to invest in post-secondary education. And so there is a disconnect, which is the theme for me and for us as the official opposition, with this budget and with the reality that people in Ontario are facing.
Okay, let me say that were he here, he would say,
yeah,
the feds cut back on foreign students coming to Canada, costing colleges and universities $3 billion roughly, so why don't you blame them?
Well, perfect. That's a great segue for me to talk about how underfunded post-secondary education is and how dependent those colleges and universities have become on international students. And this is across the entire province of Ontario. So those institutions have been in survival mode for years now, I would say at least a decade. And so they were looking for revenue streams essentially through international student fees. And I would point to a desperate lack of leadership on the colleges and post-secondary education file. And I can say that with some authority because the University of Waterloo and Wilfrid Laurier have been struggling as universities for years now.
Are they both in your riding?
They're both in Waterloo.
Both in your riding. Yeah. Okay. Having said all that, now let me go back to where I actually thought originally we were going to start, which is let's start with the budget headline. You know, every budget tells a story, and you can sum up a story in a headline. So let's go through it. Stephanie, what's the headline for you?
The headline for me is, never has the government spent so much to deliver so little.
Okay, Mike Schreiner, your headline?
Budget of no, especially when it comes to the biggest issue people are concerned about, and that's addressing the housing affordability crisis.
Okay, picking up on that obviously more as we keep going. Your headline.
And for us, this government is not up to the challenge of meeting the needs of the people of this province. And they're doubling down on failed policies, which have proven to be ineffective in addressing healthcare needs, mental health, housing especially.
That's a very long headline.
And education.
Headlines are short.
Okay. No, that's,
more to come.
We
more
need to talk about it.
Affordability, obviously the biggest issue in the province today. Writ large, and then we can dive deeper on each one of the what those things mean. If your affordability is where it's at for you, what didn't you see in the budget today that would have made lives more affordable for Ontarians that you think should have been there?
There are a lot of things, Steve. You know, I'll start with housing. Again, we've been talking about missing middle. A lot of people in the opposition have, and we think about, if we don't build that supply, housing costs will continue to be out of reach for many people. So that's one very big thing. The second thing is that Ontario Child Benefit. You know, there are families, low-income families in this province who are struggling. We had proposed an increase of $50 per month per child for those families. That would help them with the affordability crisis around food in particular, and helping those families get nutritious meals on the table. And the third thing would be students. We've talked about interest on student loans. You know, this government could cancel the provincial portion of the interest. And that would, again, make life much more affordable for students who are, again, feeling the pinch with the cost of high rents as well as the high cost of food.
Would that, if you'd done all of those things, would the deficit then not be up closer to 11, 12, 13 billion instead of 10?
You know, listen, you have to talk about priorities, right, when you think about a budget. This government continues to prioritize things like building unnecessary highways. That costs a lot of money. This government continues to prioritize things like moving a science center that doesn't need to be moved, that is actually very happy right where it is. And so I think when you look at the priorities, obviously, you know, a Liberal government would be prioritizing things around healthcare, around education, around our environment. Nothing in this budget about the environment, about what we need to do to combat climate change. And that's, again, that's the topic that, of course, many Ontarians are concerned about, of all ages.
Okay. Mike Schreiner, if affordability is your thing, what didn't you see here that you would have put in there?
Actually, build homes that people can afford in the communities they know and love. This government did nothing to address zoning reform changes that would help us increase supply. And they've done nothing to invest in nonprofit and co-op deeply affordable homes. 95% of the deeply affordable homes built in the province of Ontario were built before 1995. That shows you how far behind we are. Secondly, it's like we have to start helping families save money by saving energy, building retrofit programs, getting people affordable electric vehicles and electric bikes. We can reduce climate pollution and help people save money at the same time. And the final one for me is not having people have to pay for healthcare with their credit card. Like, it is outrageous that 2.3 million people in this province don't have access to a primary healthcare provider. And now we see advertisements for people saying, oh yeah, we'll provide you with primary healthcare if you pay with your credit card. That's not the kind of Ontario that's affordable. And I don't think it's the kind of Ontario the people in this province want to live in.
If affordability is your issue, what should have been there?
The options are so many. I think that is the missing piece for this government, is that they have no more excuses to not apply some of these solutions. There's 2 million renters in the province of Ontario. Rent control, they removed rent control. This is the number one cost for the majority of people. Now health care is a
part...
Just
to be clear, they've removed rent control on new builds,
yeah,
not on existing.
But also the tribunal for renters is backlogged. So you have people being renovicted, being demovicted, having their rents increase. We all know this in all of our ridings, including PC members. So the next thing, though, really is those ancillary costs around healthcare. I mean, they are creeping in. The government has allowed them to creep in. We just saw on the subway this week, $450 to pay for a family doctor. That's the Ontario that Doug Ford is creating. This is completely unacceptable.
Let me pick up on healthcare, because I noticed this year's budget will purport to spend 1.3% more on healthcare than last year's budget.
Yeah.
Which, if they can do that and still maintain all the services, is a hell of a trick in a year when inflation's over 3%.
So I'm so glad you mentioned that, though, because that 1.3 is also inclusive of the Bill 124 settlements. So hospitals are going to banks and lenders to try to get out of debt in this province. And just to go back to the main point here, is that $1.3 billion it's a shell game. Really, this is what we're dealing with, right, with Doug Ford's government, is that $1.3 billion is making up for an unconstitutional piece of legislation in Bill 124, which pushed healthcare workers out of the province, created the crisis in healthcare, and now the government is coming to us with this, you know, made in private healthcare land that, you know, you can now get a doctor if you can afford it. That is not the principles that this province was built on, this country was built on. It runs counter to fiscal responsibility. and ensuring that people have access to healthcare so that they don't get more sick and so that those costs don't rise up.
Do you think, Stephanie, it's actually possible to hold healthcare spending to just 1.3% more for next year, given the demands on the system?
Absolutely not. I mean, this is really it's a decrease in real dollars, right? I mean, that's the bottom line. This is a decrease in the healthcare budget, and the government continues to try to spin things. But I would say that they are out of tricks. There have no more tricks, no more cards to play here. They have got large deficits. We have got a significant debt load that we're now carrying. $93 billion they've added so far, another 60 to come. We have the same kind of debt ratios that this government has criticized previous governments for. So they have done nothing to reduce the debt, and yet they continue to deficit spend. And that is on the backs of Ontario taxpayers.
I think when the Liberals left office, it was at about 40% debt to GDP ratio, and I think it's about 39.5 now.
39.5.
Yeah, 39.5. So, and it's projected to stay the same, right, for the next few years. So they've done nothing. One of their main election promises was, we are going to, you know, no deficits and no debt, and they're failing on that front.
Mike, on healthcare, what are you seeing?
It's a real cut. When you don't even keep up with inflation, let alone population increase, so they're below on both, that is a real cut to healthcare. This last year, we had an unprecedented number of emergency room closures. Imagine, you take your child to the emergency room, you need access to healthcare, and you have to wait hours. That is a cut that's only going to make it worse. Imagine being one of the 2.3 million Ontarians who cannot access a family doctor right now. This government's doing nothing to improve that. Imagine your senior, your parents wanting to age at home, but they can't afford to because this government hasn't adequately funded community and home care. These cuts have real impacts on people's lives. It's going to make their lives less affordable, and it's going to mean lower patient care for folks.
All right, let me turn this around and look at the other side of the coin, which is deficits. I know opposition tends to want governments to spend more, but, you know, fiscal prudence is important. Didn't you used to work at the Bank of Canada?
I was on the board of the Bank of Canada.
You were on the board of the Bank of Canada? Yes. Okay. You got some Bay Street credentials
yes.
as well.
Yeah.
Okay. So if you saw a deficit go from $3 billion 1 year to $10 billion almost the next year, what would you think?
I would say this is a man with no plan. We have a premier who does not have a plan for this province. We don't have a plan for how we're going to get out of the healthcare crisis. We don't have a plan for how we're going to get out of the post-secondary education crisis. We don't have a plan for how we're going to get out of the housing affordability crisis. And yet, we have these very large deficits. So we are spending, and yet what are we getting for it? We have crisis after crisis. Every file is on fire.
Every file is on fire?
I would say virtually every file is on fire. I mean, again, think about your family doctors. How many people are family doctors are saying they're going to be retiring? Young teachers are saying they can only handle 5 years. They can't take the pressures in the system because they're not getting the funding to support kids in need.
Catherine, I think the minister would say, you know, a $10 billion deficit, admittedly three times bigger than last year's, on a $215 billion budget is still not all that much.
I mean,
is that okay?
But what we've learned through pre-budget consultation is that what this government has done is kick that can down the road. And many of the expenditures in this budget are 3 years. So they're not even meeting the moment of the needs of Ontarians. And listen, there are not-for-profits, caring agency sectors, healthcare sectors who came to us through budget consultation and said, listen, we're closing up. Like, we're past the point of crisis. We're past the tipping point. We can no longer stretch those dollars as far any further. And so, really, it's an act of desperation that this government has been so fiscally irresponsible that they've painted themselves into a corner, and now they have to actually spend the money.
Well,
it's poor planning all around.
Well, you say poor planning, but they plan to balance the books in 2026-27,
yeah,
which...
I believe it when I see
let
it.
Let me think. That's an election year, I think. So maybe politically speaking, it's not such dumb planning. I don't know. What do you see?
Well, can we trust a government who basically their budget their deficit numbers were off by $10 billion, essentially?
Yeah, exactly.
Like, what kind of fiscal management is that? And let's just talk about misplaced spending priorities. I mean, $7.3 billion on electricity subsidies that disproportionately benefit people with six and seven figure incomes. Why don't we means test those so we support middle and low income families and not people with seven income families? Let's talk about Highway 430.
Hang on, before you go, you did see I asked him that.
I know you did, and he didn't give you a very good answer. Matter of fact, he didn't even answer your question.
I tried a couple of times. Might have tried three times. Tried the lockup earlier
today, too. I think that you had mentioned, you know, I think you've said, listen, does Galen Weston need a subsidy for his energy costs? I mean, that's who we're talking about here. We're mostly concerned about those, you know, struggling Ontario families who are just struggling to make ends meet. Let's focus on, one, reducing energy costs across the board for Ontario. Like, where's the plan for that? And two, let's make sure that the people who need the support the most are getting the support.
So let me let Mike Schreiner finish his point. People email me about this all the time, and I guess one of the questions I get is, can you actually design a system where the rich people who don't need the subsidy actually don't get it, but the lower income people who do need it do? Can
you do
that?
Absolutely can. You just means test it. Yeah. It's easy to do. I would say almost every tax relief measure this government's put forward has disproportionately benefited wealthy households. Their license sticker gimmicks disproportionately benefit households who could own the most cars. Their electricity rebates disproportionately benefit people like Galen Weston, seven-figure incomes, big houses. This government always rolls the red carpet out for wealthy, well-connected elites at the expense of middle-income Ontarians. Housing's another one. This government spent the last 2 years opening the Greenbelt for development so a handful of land speculators could cash in $8.3 billion. Meanwhile, our housing starts are going down because this government refuses to legalize missing middle and gentle density housing. Once again, prioritizing wealthy elites over ordinary people.
Yeah,
you see this over and over again.
Their own housing task force.
Yeah. They want to spend $10 billion. They want to spend $10 billion on Highway 413 that could be better spent on healthcare, education, and affordable housing. Why do they want to do that? Because they know it's going to supercharge sprawl and increase the value of the land along the route of that highway. Once again, benefiting wealthy, well-connected elite land speculators. That's where this government's priorities are. They're not on middle-income and lower-income Ontarians.
Stephanie.
I would just like to add that, you know, this government could have spent some of these billions over the years in keeping their promise. They made a promise to lower taxes for middle-income families. They have yet to do that. 2,097 days as of today that promise has been broken. The other thing is that this government is not complying with its own law.
Which one?
They put in a law in 2019, the Fiscal Sustainability Transparency Accountability Act. They amended that act to require that governments with their budget include targets for reducing the debt and their plan for how they're going to do that. 5 years in now, still no plan. I think Mr. Bethenfelvy has something to answer there. You know, he is the finance minister, and part of the job of a finance minister is to, you know, be the voice a little bit of, you know, counter position with your premier to say, look, are we on the right track here? And I think he's falling down on that front.
In fairness, we don't know what goes on in his private conversations with the premier. For all we know, he wants to do that.
We know who wins. Exactly. I mean, I think that's what I'm saying, that, you know, I don't see a lot of evidence that he's winning those conversations. And I think I would certainly like to see more accountability from this government on those kinds of issues.
Yeah, and it can't be sitting well on the housing front either, Steve. I mean, the federal government has put up some upfront money for housing. At stake for Ontario is $357 million because Ontario has only built 1,000 affordable housing units. They have yet to define what is attainable and what is affordable. That's how confused they are, dazed and confused on the housing issue. They've created chaos. Even the builders, even their own people have said, listen, you know, they've had to reverse policy after policy, and especially on Bill 23. And I think this goes to municipalities as well. I mean, when they brought in Bill 23, they removed a funding mechanism for infrastructure. You cannot build housing without the infrastructure. But then they come, you know, cap in hand and offer, you know, a sum of money, which essentially is subsidized.
A billion aid, it's not chicken feed.
But they did lose over that with Bill 23. But the bigger point is that who are they subsidizing here? They're subsidizing the developers. Actually, the taxpayers of Ontario are developing are subsidizing the developers.
Well, if there was, I guess this budget made pretty clear that the because the numbers I saw in the budget suggest that we're not going to get to 1.5 million new housing
Nowhere close.
Units
no, that's
right. by the time the decade is out, which mm-hmm. is what the original target was. Mm-hmm. So, okay, Mike, why don't you take this one on first here? What should the budget have said? If you really want to get to 1.5 million homes, what should the budget have said?
It should have said, we're going to change the zoning laws that make it illegal to build mid-rise and gentle density housing in this province. We can quickly ramp up supply where we already have infrastructure in place of homes that people can afford in the communities they know and love.
But the Premier seems to think it's going to start a neighborhood war if you allow fourplexes in neighborhoods.
I don't think the Premier understands what a fourplex is. Most fourplexes I've seen are like one, two, or three stories. He keeps talking about eight-story towers. I don't even understand what he's talking about. The other thing this government has failed to do is they have failed to invest in deeply affordable nonprofit, co-op, in social housing. We will not solve the housing affordability crisis until we actually invest in homes that people can afford. Finally, they've done little to get speculation out of the market, and they're actually failing to protect renters. All of those suites of policies would address the housing affordability crisis. This government's been asleep at the switch on all of them.
What would the Liberals have done on housing that was not in this budget?
Well, we've talked about that. Bonnie Crombie talked about that today. Again, fourplexes and missing middle, right? And deeply affordable homes. I think we're all on the same page here on that, the opposition, that this government is, again, they're failing the people of Ontario as it relates to the kind of homes that people want. Not everybody starts out in a single-family home in the suburbs, right? People start in co-ops, in condos that are two or three-bedroom. We're not building enough of those. And we're not taking advantage of the infrastructure we have, in not just in big cities, but in towns. You know, towns can grow, too, within their boundaries without going out into prime agricultural land. This government doesn't seem to like to hear that. They want to just keep sprawling out into prime agricultural farmland at the expense of our cities and towns who are ready to build and saying they want that missing
really
metal.
Simple. It's really simple. You stabilize the housing market right now so you don't have renters being evicted. And two, you go back in the business of building deeply affordable homes. This is a wartime effort that Ontario needs to happen. Mart Stiles, our leader, said this today in the scrums. This is what is needed. That would be the leadership that Ontario needs right now.
See, what's nice is you mentioned your leader because she mentioned her leader, and he doesn't have to mention the leader because he is the leader.
There you go.
With a minute to go here, so I'm going to give 20 seconds to each of you. The budget was 200 pages long. Surely in 200 pages, you found one thing that you thought, I can sign on to that. Mike Schreiner, what can you sign on to?
I'm going to answer that, but I'm also going to say 200 pages, they mentioned climate change twice, the major crisis we're facing. The thing I'll sign on to is I've been pushing for funding for a permanent supportive housing project in my riding. It was finally delivered in this budget, and 107 people now are going to be housed, including 32 new spaces for people. That's a good thing for the city of Guelph.
In the city of Guelph. Okay. Stephanie Bowman.
I like the $200 million for building up community recreation facilities. You know, there are a lot of facilities that are in dire need of repair, including some in the city of Toronto, and I hope we're eligible for those, and I will be working to get those applications in.
Catherine?
And I like the fact that the government is no longer sitting on a $5.1 billion slush fund that they actually accumulated by not funding community programs. I like to think that we shamed them into doing their damn job.
That's kind of a backhanded compliment, but okay, we'll take it. We'll take it.
That's where I'm going.
That's Catherine Fife, finance critic for the NDP, Stephanie Bowman and Mike Schreiner on the other side of the table, and I thank all three of you for coming into TVO tonight.
It's a pleasure, always.
Pleasure is ours. Now.
The Agenda with Steve Paikin is made possible through generous philanthropic contributions from viewers like you. Thank you for supporting TVO's journalism.